really thirsty? Have you ever had your tongue hanging out your mouth thirsty? I've been thirsty before. I mean, you drink muddy water out of a mud hole thirsty before. And I'm reminded that it says in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. This morning I want to talk about the thirst that only Jesus can quench. You can drink Gatorade. You can drink all these drinks that I feel like in so many ways is just a whole bunch of chemicals that somebody's figured out will hydrate you. We can do all kinds of things, make all kinds of choices about how we hydrate, about how we quench our thirst, but how do we allow the Lord to quench our thirst? I mean, there's liquid IV stuff now. There's just any number of things that you can add to a bottle of water that is supposed to help quench your thirst or hydrate you. But that's all great for the physical. But I want to talk about the spiritual aspects of being thirsty this morning. If you'd turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The Gospel of John. Go to chapter 4, jump down to verse 5. Stand with me this morning, if you would, please. John chapter 4. Verse 4, I inadvertently forgot to put down, but verse 4 actually sets up the passage. And it says in verse 4, but he needed, he being Jesus, he needed to go through Samaria. Wasn't that he wanted to, he needed to. You got to, when you read that verse, you've got to ask yourself a question. Why did he need to go through Samaria? Interesting, Bob, that you talked about choices. Interesting that Mike talked about choices, because in verse 4, or previous to verse 4, Jesus had a choice to make. Do I be like the rest of the religious people and avoid Samaria, or do I go that way? And the scripture said he needed to. Verse 5, so he came to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave his son Joseph. Now Joseph's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour, and a woman of Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, give me a drink. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. And then the woman of Samaria said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink of me, a Samaritan woman? for the Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered and said to her, If you knew the gift of God and who it is that says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself as well as his sons and his livestock? And Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw. And Jesus said to her, go, call your husband and come here. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you have well said, I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband, in that you spoke truly. And the woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you're a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship. And Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit. Those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. And the woman said, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. And when he comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. Father, I feel completely inadequate this morning to preach this word. There's so much being said in these verses, Lord, that literally all we can do this morning is just scratch the surface. And this, I just ask you this morning to cause me to decrease. Ask you desperately, Lord, that you would increase in me. Lord, that your word would accomplish what you have set it forth to do today. The struggle that I went through just to put this on paper. Lord, I understand choices and opposition from the enemy. But I believe with all of my heart somebody today is going to get set free, and their thirst is going to be quenched. Not from coffee, not from a bottle of water, but from the outpouring of your Holy Spirit in their life. God, if we can accomplish that today, to God be the glory. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen, amen. And amen. Matthew chapter 5 declares, blessed are they who hunger and thirst. And every time I read that passage, it dawns on me that what he's using here are the two things that are necessary to sustain life. The two things that are vital, that without them, I got news for you, without food and water, you're dead meat. You're going to die. You can live longer without food than you can water. But you need them both at some point in your life, or you're going to die. And in this passage, we find a woman that has come to this well to draw water, and here she meets the giver of not H2O, but HS, Holy Spirit. I just made that up. Jesus didn't have to go that way to get where he was going. But he is in tune and in touch enough with his Father that he heard the Father say, no, go this way. Well, and she, the lady, the Samaritan woman in the passage even declares, listen, what in the world are you, a Jew, doing talking to me? I'm a Samaritan woman. Which was completely against the law, against the rules. The disciples have gone off into town. They're going to buy some food and bring it back. They didn't realize that they had left the food at the well. Some of you will get that on the way home. Because if he's the water, he's also the bread. Now you don't have to wait till you're on your way home. Jesus offers this woman living water that satisfies the very deepest thirsts of the human soul. And what I want to show this morning is that only a personal encounter with a man named Jesus will truly satisfy a heart and transform a life. Talk about thirst. Talk about being thirsty. Talk about wondering, where's my drink coming from? Where can I get something to quench this thirst that's inside of me? If you've ever been working and working hard, cutting timber or chasing cow, whatever it is, working, pulling material off a green chain in a sawmill in July or August. I remember Green Valley Lumber Company. Anybody remember Green Valley Lumber Company in downtown Myrtle Creek? I remember seeing those guys out there with nothing but a roof over them in the heat, pulling that green lumber, Doug fir lumber, off of that chain. Man, it's hard work. It's hot work. It's dusty work. If you've never been blessed with having Doug fir bark splinters down the back of your neck, you just hadn't lived. It's an amazing thing. You ever been so thirsty that nothing but water will quench your thirst? Man, have you ever been thirsty and grabbed a soda pop and drank that thing? And you're like, oh, that's going to be, I need a Pepsi. You suck that thing down and you're like, man, I need something to wash that out, because it's terrible. I'm the only one. Nothing will quench your thirst like water. Wonder why? You can think about that on your own time. I want to talk about a deeper thirst. A deeper thirst that is in every human soul. A thirst for meaning. Hello? A thirst for meaning, a thirst for love, a thirst for forgiveness, and a thirst for purpose. What is my purpose? Why I ask myself that every Well, probably every day. What in the world am I doing here? You ever thirsted for meaning? What's my life even about? I don't know about the rest of you, but I have struggles in my life. I've made bad choices, Bob. Bad choices. I've thirsted for forgiveness. And in this text, we meet a woman that's tried everything to fill her thirst. But the man that she met at the well that morning, actually it wasn't even morning, it was at noon. They usually came in the morning, but she didn't come in the morning because of the guilt and the shame and all the mess that was in her life that represented who she was. And so she couldn't even bring herself to come to the well to draw water because of the guilt, the shame, the self-condemnation, the condemnation dropped on her by everybody else around her, because listen, they knew who she was and she knew who she was. And she couldn't even face those other ladies that came to that well. And so she waited till the dust had settled, and around noon she would go to the well, draw her water, sneak back into town. But because of her choice to go that day at that time, because of a choice that Jesus himself made to go that route, instead of the popular, politically, or religiously correct route, I'm going a different way. I'm going right straight down the road, and I'm going to have an encounter with a Samaritan woman, and it's going to freak out my disciples, because when they come back and they see who I'm talking to, they aren't going to understand. I'm going to freak her out because she's going to recognize who I am, and there's all this stuff, but because of choices we made, Jesus meets this woman. She's tried everything to fill her thirst, but only found satisfaction when she herself met the Savior. In the first 9 verses of chapter 4, you see a divine appointment being set up. There's a divine appointment. Listen, Jesus had a divine appointment when he met you. It wasn't just by accident. It was deliberate. It was on purpose. He'd heard from the Father, today's the day. That person's ripe for the picking, if you will. There's a divine appointment being set up. It says in verse 4, but he needed to go through Samaria. He needed to go through Samaria. It wasn't just a good idea. He needed to go through there. Why? Because there was a lost sheep out there. And he knew that if he would go this way, he would encounter that lost sheep. Aren't you glad that one morning or one day or one Sunday or one midnight or one in the middle of the night, I don't know when it was, that he encountered you? That your life ain't never been the same, not ever. I've made some of the stupidest decisions and choices in my life, and I thank God right now here today that he ain't never gave up on me. He made a choice that no matter what, I'm going to chase that bald-headed sucker down. I'm going to run him in the ground. If that's what's necessary, I'm not never ever going to give up, and he'll do the same for you. In fact, you're here today because he's never gave up on you. I want to show you this morning that it is only a personal encounter with Jesus that can truly satisfy your heart and transform your life. An encounter. Coming to this church, sitting through this worship service this morning, giving money in the offering, will not get you into heaven. It will not. The only thing that will qualify you to step into the portals of glory is what you've done with Jesus Christ? Have you accepted Him? Have you drank of living water? Have you received the water that Jesus Christ truly gives? I'm telling you, it's a personal thing. It's a personal encounter. He needed to go through Samaria. And geographically, Jesus didn't need to go through Samaria. In fact, it really wasn't that good of a choice. He didn't need to go through Samaria. Most of the Jews of that day would completely avoid that route. They didn't go that way at all. In fact, they would walk miles out of the way to avoid contact with Samaritans. But the Scripture makes it clear he needed to go, but the question then becomes, why did he need to go that way? Because there was a woman coming to a well at around noon, and she needed some water. She needed a divine appointment for her soul and for her spirit. She was lost. She was broken. She was thirsty. She was condemned of the world by the world around her because her life didn't measure up with everybody else's life. But Jesus didn't care about that. He don't care about what the mess is in your life. What he cares about is, what are you going to do with the living water that I offer you? Are you going to drink, or are you going to reject it? You see, when Jesus sat down at the well, he was tired from his journey. And when he sat down, it wasn't by accident. He was a man on a mission. Anybody ever watched it? The old Jim Phelps Mission Impossible, if you choose, you know, we ain't gonna acknowledge anything about you. And by the way, this message will self-destruct. And keep your copy back there, I might need it. He was a man on a mission. He's still on that same mission today, church. He's still on that same mission today. He's going out of his way to meet people right where they are. And this woman, she wasn't looking for him. How many of you were looking for him? I found Jesus. No, you didn't. He wasn't lost. He wasn't lost. You're lost. He found you. Remember, he leaves the 99 and goes and looks for the one. You didn't find Jesus. He sought you out. He positioned himself in a place where he knew that you were going to pass by. And he offered you that living water. She said, look, man, you ain't even got a bucket to draw any water with. How are you going to give me water? You let that sink in. She wasn't looking for Jesus, but he went out of his way. She was just coming to the well to draw water. It was the hottest part of the day, but she was ashamed to come when everybody else did. But I want to tell you this morning that Jesus was looking for her. He was on a mission. They were on a collision course. And the truth is, the fact is that Jesus is still looking for us in the middle of our shame, in the middle of our sin, in the middle of our isolation, in the middle of our hiding out, because I can't go outside because, you know what? Look, there's people that know about me. And I might bump into them. I might run into somebody that knows something about me. What you've exposed to the light can never be held against you in the dark. Hello. I had this thought Matthew, Gene, the rest of you that are first responders, Marshall. When there's a disaster, I think about, and I saw the images this past week again of 9/11 and the debris and the dirt and the dust and the chaos, and everybody's running in one direction. I mean, they are running. They're coming out of that building and they are running. They're running as far away from the disaster as they can possibly get themselves, except for a bunch of guys wearing a crazy looking hat. They were running the opposite direction. They're running right into the middle of the chaos and the disaster. They were going in there and they were trying to grab people that couldn't fend for themselves, that couldn't make their way out on their own. They ran into the disaster instead of away from the disaster. We run from the disaster, but you guys have a different mindset. It don't make no sense. That place is on fire. It's burning down. It's crumbling. And you bunch of goofballs are running into the middle of it. Yeah, I might be able to get in there and out with one more person. And we're running for our life. They're running for a life that they might be able to rescue. They just run right straight into the mess, and that's what Jesus did when he said, I needed to go to Samaria. He knew it was culturally unacceptable. He knew that it was not the norm for a Jew to interact with a Samaritan. But he said, I got to put all that aside. I didn't come to follow a set of rules. He came to rewrite the book culturally. He runs into your brokenness. Some of you have convinced yourself this morning that I'm a little broken, but I'm not that broken. I probably can make it on my own to heaven. No, you can't. No, you can't. You need Jesus. You need Jesus. You can't make it on your own. I'm a pretty good person. Yeah, I would agree with that. You're a pretty good person, but pretty good people are going to go to hell. Have you cried out to Jesus? I know I'm surrounded by mostly a bunch of church folk, but there might be somebody watching on that camera. There might even be somebody undercover, hiding out in amongst us today, that one of these mornings, one of these nights, something that has been said, the Spirit of the Lord is going to flip the switch and you're going to go, man, I think I can make heaven my home, but I don't want to face Jesus with a I think I can, when I can face Jesus with a I know I can, because of a choice that I've made. In fact, in Joshua chapter 24, he makes it obvious. He says, choose you this day whom you're going to serve. And he says, as for me and my house, I mean, he's speaking for everybody. He says, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to choose on purpose to serve the Lord. And some of you are going to have to make that choice. He runs into your brokenness to rescue you. It doesn't mean that you're weak. It doesn't mean that you're not strong enough. It means that he wants to carry you. He wants to enable you. There's a deeper conversation that begins to take place in John chapter 4, starting in verse 10 through 15. I won't read the whole passage. I'll just touch a couple verses. In verse 10, he says, Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Isn't that amazing? This woman's first thought was the physical. It was a physical thing. How are you going to give me water? You don't even have anything to draw with. You can't give me any water. But Jesus is speaking about something so very much deeper. So much deeper. He's talking about living water. He's talking about water you can't dip out of a well. He's talking about a water that once you drink that water, you'll never be satisfied with well water ever again. When I think about wells, Judy, I think about a well that my dad dug by hand at our house out North Myrtle. And it was an open well. And I don't know if you know anything about open wells, but things can crawl into an open well and die, because you can only tread water for so long. And about every month, you'd have to take a 3-pound Folgers coffee can with a piece of baling wire on it and dip out the dead rats or moles or snakes or whatever was in that. And then you'd pour in a half a gallon of chlorine bleach just to help it all out. And we drank that stuff every day. Didn't affect me. It's amazing. Absolutely amazing. Physical water, you'll always have to have more of. Spiritual water, there's an old Southern gospel song, "Dig a little deeper in the well, boys, dig a little deeper in the well." If you want a good and cool drink of water, you got to dig a little deeper in the well. Jesus is talking about a deep well, a deep source of living water. He's talking about the life-giving presence of God that will satisfy your life forever. He's thinking about her, or she rather is thinking about her bucket, and Jesus is thinking about her soul. In John 4:14, it says, "But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." People today, this sanctuary is got some of them in them. They're watching on that camera on the internet. People are still chasing after something of temporary satisfaction, but your soul stays thirsty. I'm going to drink a soda pop, and you drink the soda pop, and you're thirstier after you drink the thing than you were the first sip. You know what I'm saying? Because it doesn't satisfy. The world doesn't bring satisfaction. They stay thirsty. Verse 16 tells her, Jesus tells her in verse 16, "Go get your husband." Which leads to the declaration and the reality that she's had 5 husbands, and who she's living with now is a different man. And Jesus reveals truth not to condemn her, but to heal her. Isn't that amazing? And in verses 20 through 26, the who he really is, his identity, becomes revealed. He's the Messiah. And she said, "I know Messiah." I mean, she's like changing the subject. She said, "I know that the Messiah is coming." And Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he. I am the Messiah." And so she tries to change the subject, but it only leads to the revealing of the Savior, the Messiah. What a moment that had to be for that young lady. What a moment to realize this guy that's offering me living water, he's not just some other shepherd. He is the great shepherd. He's the life giver. The Savior of the world reveals himself to a broken Samaritan woman. He ain't revealing himself to a priest. He's not revealing himself to some rabbi. He's not revealing himself to something of a ruler. He reveals himself, church, to the very ones that need him the most, a sinner. It ain't the well that need the doctor. It's the sick. The righteous don't need saving. It's the sinner. At that very moment, her thirst was quenched. Her soul was filled. Something happened because she drank spiritually of the living water that Jesus himself had offered her. True worshipers. See, you got to understand, worship isn't about a place anymore. It's not about a mountain. It's not about Jerusalem. It's about the person of Jesus Christ, the King, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. True worshipers worship in spirit and in truth. And in our attempts at outreach that I keep challenging you with week after week after week, I want to encourage you. I want to challenge you. I want to say, listen, you've got to be careful, very careful, to speak the truth in love. Speak the truth in love. Anytime you're talking about Christ, if Christ is love, then you should be speaking to them in love. Don't condemn. Remember Romans chapter 8? There's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Don't condemn people. Use compassion. Let compassion. Jesus had compassion on this Samaritan woman, so much so that he went the unpopular route to go and visit with her, to see her. He knew that he was going to face questions. What in the world are you doing talking to a Samaritan woman, a guy talking to a woman? Taboo. Yet here Jesus is, our example, their example, their disciple maker, speaking with a woman. And in verse 28, it says that she leaves her water pot behind and runs back into town. Was she running from Jesus? No, she wasn't running from Jesus. She just had the greatest encounter with this man she'd ever had with anybody ever. And she'd been with all these men. And she had an encounter with one guy, absolutely changed her life. And she's running back into town. Mind you, the reason why she's at the well is because she can't face everybody that's in town. She can't bear to face them. And now she's had an encounter with Jesus. And she's running to town because she's got to tell somebody what Jesus did in her life. I'm transformed. I've been born again. I'm a new creature. She's running to town. She leaves the water pot and runs to town. She had finally found what she was looking for. Some of you don't even know what you're looking for. Maybe you're watching on that camera this morning on a computer screen or whatever, your phone, I don't know. And you're looking for something. You've been searching. Let me just help you. His name's Jesus. His name is Jesus. She found what she was looking for. She could not contain it for a second longer. She had to go tell somebody. You imagine the first person that she ran into? Sister Bertha, better than you. It's working its way around. Sister dry as a bone. You know that one? You know what I'm talking about? That person. She ran right up to him and said, You ain't gonna believe what happened to me. Oh, really? But that's all she has to say, because there's something happened in her life that even Sister Bertha, better than you, recognize a transformed life. Something has happened. In verse 29, her evangelistic message to those that she had ran from, like those firefighters, you run to. She was, in a spiritual sense, a first responder. And she says, come and see a man who told me everything that I did. Could this be the Christ? It's interesting. The very people that she'd been avoiding, she's now running to with the good news. She's running to them. See, that's what happens when you encounter Jesus. I got news for you. If you're suffering from some form of a disease and the doctors have said, listen, you're going to die, and Jesus heals you just like that, sets you free just like that, complete miracle in your life, you're set free just like that, are you going to go home and hide in your house and not tell nobody? I don't think so. I think you're going to shout it from the rooftops. And let me tell you what Jesus did. I was dying. I was declared, you're just done. But Jesus, you do have a terminal diagnosis, by the way, in case you didn't know that. You do have a terminal diagnosis. It's called sin. Sin brings forth death. But the grace of God, the blood of Jesus, forgives that sin. You've been redeemed. You might not have HIV, but you do have SIN. You might have COPD, but hello? What happens when you encounter Jesus? What happens when we have this encounter with a man that you've never seen? Maybe you've never heard of him. I can tell you what happens. You move from shame to witness, from emptiness to overflow. She couldn't contain it any longer. She had to go tell everybody she could find. That's what happens. Every heart that seeks truth will find it in Jesus Christ. Every heart that seeks truth will find it in Jesus Christ. Let me close with these three things. Please don't count. Number one. Jesus meets us where we are. So many times I've heard people say, well, if I can just get some of these things straightened up in my life, if I can just clean myself up a little bit, I'll go to church. That's as ridiculous as saying, as soon as I get well, I'm going to go to the doctor. As soon as this hemorrhaging of blood out of your arm or your leg, as soon as that quits bleeding, I'll go to the doctor, because I don't want to make a mess in the doctor's office. No, go ahead and make the mess. Let him fix that so that you can continue to live. Jesus meets you where you are. You don't have to clean up first. Number two, Jesus reveals our need honestly. And he doesn't do it to bring any kind of condemnation in your life, but simply to use those things to set you free. Thirdly, Jesus offers himself as the only source of life. He offers himself as the only source of life. And when you drink from his well, you'll never thirst again. You'll never thirst again. John chapter 7 and verse 37 says, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink." If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Bow your heads with me this morning all across this sanctuary. Literally all across the world by way of that camera. I think Jesus was the kind of man that would challenge you right where you are. And maybe one of the questions that he would bring up today in your life, maybe just in conversation, he would say, "Well, you know, reason why you're still thirsty is because maybe you've just been drinking from the wrong well. Maybe you're drinking from the wrong well. Maybe you're trying to drink from the well of popularity. I always wanted to be a popular kid in school. I never made that. And I'm glad I didn't. I was always the last guy to get picked for any kind of a sporting event. Maybe I was drinking from the wrong well. But here's the thing. Maybe you're still thirsty. I hope that you're still thirsty. Because I want you to understand this today, church. All those of you watching by way of the internet, Jesus is today sitting at your well, and he's offering you living water today. He's really just saying, "Listen, if you'll drink from my well, you won't thirst again." He's offering you living water. He's not asking you, hear me this morning, because some of us are hung up right here. He's not asking you and I to be perfect. He's not asking you to be perfect. He's not asking for your perfection. He's asking for your heart. He's asking for your heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the Bible says your mouth will speak. And this morning, heads are bowed and eyes are closed, and people are praying around this sanctuary, praying by way of the internet, all around the world, literally. Because we serve a God that is omnipresent. That means he's everywhere, all at once, all at the same time. His Holy Spirit has been set free in this house to challenge you, to begin to provoke you, to stir you up, to make you think about some things. I stand before you this morning a flawed guy. I got flaws just like everybody else. I got chinks in my armor. I've got, you know, maybe a limp spiritually, or however you want to look at it. But I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that the same Jesus that delivered me and set me free and gave his life for the mess that I have been and can still be, he shed his blood for you. He died for you. He sees you in your thirst right now. And he says, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. My burden is light. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, people are praying everywhere. Today, somebody in your house is praying for you. You might have, listen, young man, if you got a grandma praying for you, you just will give up. Okay, he's coming for you. If you got a husband or a wife or a son or a daughter that's outside the safety of knowing that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, Jesus is sitting at the well waiting to offer that living water today. He's got the only water that will quench your thirst. So let me just ask you this right now. People are praying, heads are bowed. Maybe you're that one that grandma's praying for. Maybe you're the wife or the husband or the son or the daughter that mom and dad or whoever, grandma, grandpa, whatever the case may be. But they're praying. You've been praying. They've been praying for you. And you've been holding off. Listen, too much stuff is going on confirming biblical prophecy in our world today. I don't know the day or the hour, but I know he's coming back. And when he does, we have to be ready. The only way to be ready is to have your passport stamped, spiritually speaking. To have your ticket validated by the blood of Jesus. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I've never given my life to Jesus before, but today I want to acknowledge him. I want to surrender my life. I want to get a big, tall, cool glass of living water this morning and drink it down and know that I've been saved. I've been born again. I've been set free. My spiritual thirst is being quenched this morning. If that's you today, you say, Pastor, I've never accepted Jesus. Maybe you're here today, and maybe when you was 10, 11, 12 years old, you accepted Jesus in Sunday school class or in children's church. Maybe as an adult, you accepted Jesus and life got in the way. Tragedy maybe happened, and maybe you've been mad at God. He ain't mad at you. He's not mad at you. He's sitting at the well waiting for you to come back for a drink. Just one more drink. Just one more drink. And today he's holding out a glass of living water, and he's saying, if you'll just drink, you'll never thirst again. If you find yourself in either of those categories, You've either never accepted Jesus or you did, and you some way stepped away from Him. But today, you want to either give your life for the very first time to Jesus Christ, or you want to rededicate and recommit your life to Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask you to muster up all the faith and strength that you can, spiritually speaking, and raise your hand and say, Pastor, would you pray for me right now? Raise your hand. Come on. Yes. Yes. I see those hands. You can put them down. I see those hands. You can put them down. Somebody else say, Preacher, that's me. I need Jesus. Anybody else today, Pastor, that's me. Anybody else? Side to side, front to back. Anybody else? Lord, I pray, God, that you would draw them by your Spirit, Lord. Listen, if you raised your hand, I'm going to ask you to get up out of your chair and come. I want to pray with you. I said I'd pray with you. I do want to pray with you. Get up and come right now. Come on. Right down there. Right here. Anybody else? Come on. Come on. Don't wait. Don't. Come on. Yes. Keep coming. We'll wait for you.
Come to the fountain.
Come on. Come on. Come on.
Dip your heart in.
Come on.
Stream.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Let the pain.
Thank you, Lord.
And the sun grow.
Anybody else?
Be washed away in the waves of His mercy.
Amen. 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 Thank you, Lord. Pray this prayer right here. Pray right now. Say, Dear Lord, I ask you to give me living water. Wash me by your blood. Renew me, forgive me, and restore me. Help me to be like the Samaritan woman and run until somebody of what Jesus did for me. I thank you for it. I commit my life to you. I'll serve you from this day forward. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you. You guys minister to them. Come on, minister to them right now.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.